All right. Good evening, everyone. So what I'd like to try to explore tonight a little bit, first of all, hopefully everyone had a beautiful summer, an enjoyable summer, rejuvenating summer, and it's amazing. You know, it's this is one of the byproducts of living in Galus, living in the diaspora. So most of us are still in summer mode. Right? It was just Labor Day. We could still wear white. You know, all the important things. And, you know, now it's time for Yamim Naram. And I often find, first off, anyone needs their sheets. Right over here on the table, right when you first walk in, if anyone needs source sheets. So I often find that when the summertime falls out like this, it's difficult because we don't really have the same amount of time of preparation. Usually summertime is summertime, and then when summer is over, and Mirat Hashem, Elul begins, and once Elul begins, we have a solid month to be able to prepare to see Yamim Noraim. This year, I feel, presents a little bit of, at least in the diaspora, a little bit of a calendrical challenge, in that we have to get our relaxing and spiritual preparation all in at the same time. But the beautiful part about Yiddishkeit is that it's never too late. And even if a person has not maximized their Elul, or even if a person has not yet begun to fully take advantage of the opportunity to prepare for Yamim Noraim, so there's still a few days to Rosh Hashanah. So I'd like to try to do this evening is focus a little bit on the deeper meaning of Rosh Hashanah. Specifically to focus on what is the avoda of this Yom Tov. So you'll understand why this is not just such a straightforward question, but in fact is a bit complex. Take a look at number one. So number one, the Gemara Maseches, the Mishnah Maseches Rosh Hashanah writes, Ba'arboi prakim ha'olam nido. The world is judged at four different intervals. And the Gemara goes through, Be'pesach ha'latvua, on the Yom Tov ha'Pesach, we're judged, the world is judged, regarding ultimately, again, the amount of wheat that is going to grow in the world. Ba'atzeres al ha'peros ha'ilon, on Shavuos, we are judged regarding the amount of fruit that are going to grow in this world. And Be'Rosh Hashanah kol bo'ei olam, ovrim lefanav kibnei marim. And what happens on Rosh Hashanah? Literally translated, all the inhabitants of the world, called Ba'ei Olam, all the inhabitants of the world, Ovrim Lefanav, pass before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kibnei Maron, like sheep. What's the image that the Gemara is, the Mishnah is trying to put forward? Individual judgment. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin. Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. And not collective judgment, not national judgment, individual judgment. Every single man, woman, and child. By the way, Jew and Gentile alike, all comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for judgment on this day. And I would venture to say that this is the conception that most of us have when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is a day of forgiveness, slicha, mechila, kapara, atonement, Rosh Hashanah, day of judgment. Leaving aside the age-old question as to why the day of judgment comes before the day of forgiveness, it would have made so much more sense to first attain divine forgiveness on Yom Kippur, then to be judged on Rosh Hashanah. We'll leave that in Meretz Hashem for next year. But number one, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah highlights the basic conception we have as Rosh Hashanah. It's a day of reckoning. It's a day in which we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for another year of life. So how does God determine whether or not that request is granted? Well, it appears on a very basic level, there's a performance review. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're asking for life, you're asking for bracha, you're asking for more. Okay, you asked for that last year also. Let's see what you did with it. Let's see what you accomplished. Let's see what you did. Let's see how you grew. Let's use the past year's performance, kol bo'ei olam ovrim lefanav kibnei maron. Come in front of me. Let's talk about your life. Let's talk about your year, and let's try to figure out together what's going to be in the year to come. But if you take a look at number two, the Gemara, same Gemara, just a few lines later, highlights a dramatically different motif of Rosh Hashanah. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbe Shalom says, you want to know what the primary aspect, the primary avod of Rosh Hashanah is? The Gemara says as follows, Imru lefanai b'Rosh Hashanah, malchios zichronos v'shofaros. Do you want to know what the primary avoda, the primary work, the primary service of Rosh Hashanah is? It's Musaf. It's Musaf. God says the ikur, the most important part of Rosh Hashanah, is the recitation of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros. What does this mean? Malchios. So remember again, this is a reference to the bulk of the Musaf Shmona Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. So what do we say? The Musaf Shmona Esrei is comprised of multiple parts, but three major parts. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. What happens in Malchios? Malchios, we speak about the monarchical identity of God. Kedesha tamichuni aleichem. So Malchios, ultimately, again, so that you will be considered, so you could literally coronate me over you. We recite Malchios, we should coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu over us. Zichronos, which means remembrance. Kedesha yale zichronechem lefonai letova. So that you should be remembered for good in front of me, God. Ubaman, how does all of this occur? Bishofar. All of this occurs with the shofar. Malchios, we coronate God. Zichronos, we remember that God remembers. And how do we activate Malchios and Zichronos? That's through the blowing of the shofar. One more piece. Am Rabbi Avo. Lama token b'shofar sha'ail. By the way, why is it that we use a ram's horn for a shofar in Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says, Amra Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tiku lefanai b'shofar sha'ail, blow a ram's horn for me on Rosh Hashanah, kedei she'eskor lachem akedas Yitzchak ben Avram, so that I will remember for you the akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Yitzchak ben Avram. And listen to this. Umali ani aleichem, when you blow the shofar, God says, I will count it, kilu akaratem atzmechem lefanai, as if you offered yourselves up on the altar. Now, this Gemara, I want to, this is the season for honesty. So, I mean, it's always a season for honesty, but this is an especially good time to be honest. And I will tell you, the hardest part of Rosh Hashanah for me, the hardest part, it's not the length of the drasha. I think the rabbi speaks too short. That's my personal opinion, right? The chazar, sashats, everything is beautiful. For me, the greatest struggle on Rosh Hashanah is the personal Shmona Esrei of Musaf. Personal Shmona Esrei of Musaf. The Shmona Esrei of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Now I know this is a group of Nashim Tzidkanios. You're very pious women. So I'm sure you're crying hot tears at every single pasuk. I'm going to be honest with you. Frankly, I struggle with it because I find it unmoving and uninspiring. I'm talking about God is King. I understand God is King. Why do I need 27 million psukim to tell me that God is King? God remembers. I understand that God remembers. I need psukim from Chumash, from Novi, from Ksuvim. Shofar. Shofar is great. I'm all for shofar. Big fan of shofar. But again, so many psukim regarding shofros, and this is the bulk of the Musaf Shmona Esrei. The bulk of Musaf Shmona Esrei is all about psukim that speak about God as a King, speak about that God remembers, and speak about blowing of the shofar. Really? This is the day when, life and death is being decided. This is the day, ultimately, again, where our lives, the quality and nature and fabric of the year to come, for ourselves, for our parents, for our children, for our spouses, for everyone. And this is what I'm focusing on? This is what I'm, and yet, not only that, but Chazal tell us, the rabbis tell us, that Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, these three sections are the core of the Rosh Hashanah Avodah. If you want to know what Rosh Hashanah is, that's why I brought this down. We often think that Rosh Hashanah is just about one. We often think that Rosh Hashanah is just about judgment, global personal judgment. The Gemara comes along and says, no, Rosh Hashanah is really about Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, which then obviously behooves us to understand these three sections in a dramatic way. And there's another reason why this is very important. I know this is a mixed group of people, obviously different ages and different stages, but I think this is especially important, especially sometimes women, and very often women with younger children. If you get to come to shul, so even if the personal Shmona Esrei doesn't do it for you all that much, you get to hear the nigunim, you get to hear the tunes, you get to sing. So it's okay, no one's inspired all parts of davening. But if you're doing a lot of your davening at home, and a lot of your avoda, ultimately, again, is just your private Shmona Esrei, and your private Shmona Esrei is comprised of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros, a person could so easily emerge from davening saying, really? That's it? That's my whole experience, all of these psukim. So it behooves us to understand, get a deeper understanding and deeper meaning as to what these three sections represent. But there's a second question, which is a more technical question, which I'll mention now, and we'll return to it later on. If you notice again, the Gemara says that what type of shofar do we use? What type of shofar? Ram's horn. Why a ram's horn? to remind us of Akedas Yitzchak, to remind us of the binding of Isaac. Avraham Avinu was willing to offer up his one and only son from Sarai Imenu. He doesn't offer up Yitzchak, instead he ends up offering up a ram. And so to remember the Akedah, we blow the ram's horn. Fine. But the Gemara makes a dramatic statement. What does the Gemara say? That if we blow the shofar, then what? In the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he counts it as if what? As if I placed myself on the altar. I mean, it's a great deal, don't get me wrong. But what does that mean? Because I blow the shofar, I'm not even blowing the shofar, I'm just listening to the shofar. But we're all included in that. So if I blow the shofar, if I listen to the shofar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts it as if I was willing to place myself on the altar. What does that mean? And why is that so? So let's begin to explore. First, I'm going to take you through a little bit of a journey of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. When it comes to Malchus, when it comes to that first section where we declare the monarchical identity of God, what's the problem that you have with that section? What's the problem? Meaning, and if I don't declare that God is God, then what? Then what? He's still God. Meaning, the Ribbono Shel Olam does not need me to coronate him. He does not need me to crown him. He does not need me to acquiesce that he is indeed the absolute and sole ruler of the universe. He's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is it exactly that we are accomplishing? Take a look at number 3. There's an amazing Mishnah Maseches Tamid. The Mishnah writes, the Mishnah actually here is talking about, not our topic for tonight, but talking about the different songs that the Levim used to sing in the Beis HaMikdash. So, Hashir Shehayu HaLevim Orm B'Mikdash, B'Yom HaRishon, on Sunday, what did they say? Hayu Orm L'Hashem Aratzum Lo'o, Tevel V'Yoshveva, B'Shishi, on Friday, they said, Hayu Omrim Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh. And by the way, if this looks familiar to you, it's because the Shir Shalyom, right, that we say at the end of davening is modeled after what the Levim did in the Beis HaMikdash. So what was the Shir Shalyom? What was the Levitic song on Friday? Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh, which literally means Hashem has reigned, God is the king, Geus Lavesh, he wears his splendor. So if you look at number 4, the Bartanur in his commentary on the Mishnah says, okay, so what are the Levim saying? On the Shir Shalom of Friday, the Shir Shalom of the sixth day of the week, they speak about God as a king. Why not speak about God as a king on Sunday, beginning of the week? Maybe speak about God as a king on Shabbos, on Monday. Why Dafka Friday? So the Bartanura says something amazing. He says, Bishishi, you know, it's a very important point to highlight over here. Rosh Hashanah celebrates what major event? So we often say creation of the world, Hayom Hara Sa'olam. But in fact, that's not true. The world was created actually yesterday. The 25th of Elul was the beginning of creation. What Rosh Hashanah really marks is the sixth day of creation when man was created. You see, the entire world was created for man. The entire world was created for us. And as such, we call the day of our creation, Chazal, Kadosh Baruch Hu's day of our creation, Rosh Hashanah. It's the beginning of the year. The world was created because man was created. So the Baruch Tunura says something amazing. He says, on the sixth day of the week, number 4, Shebo Nishlama Habriya, that was the day when creation was complete. Why was creation complete? Complete. Ubo Nivra Adam. Because man was created on this day, Shemakir Malchuso Shel Yotzro. For it is only man who has the ability to truly recognize the kingship or monarchical identity of God. It is only man who could understand and recognize the monarchical identity of God. Meaning, God was king already as of when? On the first day. Right? Even before, but from the first day of creation, he's already king. But what the Mishnah seems to be saying is, there was no one or nothing to recognize him as king. The first creation that was capable of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king was man. And that's why the Levim, for the Shira, for the Levitic song of Friday, said Hashem Malach. God became king on this day, on Friday, on the sixth day of creation. For man was the first creation who was able to recognize God. And if you take a look at number 5, the Lubavitch Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Livracha says something so beautiful here. He says, V'hine, Av Shemalchu Shemayim Hasi Yechol Olachol Al Ashratzim Va'ofo Shenivru B'yom Chamishi Shal Bria Im Kozos. Even though, again, God was already the king on Thursday, on Wednesday, he created life earlier than man. Adayin lo nikra shmo melech terem brias adam. God is not identified as king until man is created. Why? V'zos mishum shelo shayich bechinas melucha rak al bechinas adam. Because at the end of the day, writes the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that the concept of melucha, the concept of recognizing a monarch, is only applicable to human beings, to people. Why? Sha'adam mekabel alav ol machuso. For it is only man who is able to accept upon himself a king. What does this mean? So I think what the Lubavitcher Rebbe is trying to teach us, what Chazal is trying to teach us, is what does it mean when we say Malchus? I'm coronating God. So what do you think? The Ribbono Shel Olam is sitting up and saying, oh, finally, silver crowned me king of the universe, right? I feel complete. There was something missing from my life because silver didn't acknowledge me. Baruch Hashem, he made me king of the universe. I'm so incredibly happy. That's not what it means. What Malchus means is I make the choice to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as my king. You see, God is the de facto king of the universe. Does that automatically mean he's my king? Does it mean that he's my king? So on a certain level, the answer is yes, because he controls me even if I don't, or he controls my life even if I don't accept him. But his identity as a monarch in my life is only actualized if I choose to accept him. Malchus is the part of Rosh Hashanah where I choose to accept the Ribono Shel Olam as my king. What does it mean if I choose to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as my king? I have Bechira. I have free choice. What Malchus teaches me is that I have the ability to decide. So often we think that we lack free choice about who we choose to be. I'm born with this disposition. I'm born with this proclivity. And it's true. We are all born with dispositions. And we are all born with proclivities. Chazal already speak about this. The famous Gemara Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara says that if a child is born under the sign of Amadim, of Mars, they're going to shed blood. Now you have a choice. How you shed blood? You could be a murderer. You could be a robber. You could be a surgeon. You could be a moel. You could be a shochet. What Chazal were telling us is we're definitely born with certain predispositions and proclivities in life. We are pre-programmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in certain ways. But don't think for a second that takes away your choice to be the kind of person you want to be. When we are Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I accept God as my king, what I'm saying is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I accept you as my king. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not doing backflips because of that, because I finally accepted as my king. But when I accept him as my king, the statement I'm making is I have choice in life. I have Bechira, and only I have Bechira. So often in life we go with the flow. So often in life tomorrow is just a carbon copy of what there was yesterday. The personality I had 20 years ago is the same personality I have today. And my excuse is, this is who I am. There's no such thing in life as this is who I am. A Jew can't say this is who I am. A Jew makes a different statement. This is who I choose to be. I have to acknowledge that. I am the person I am because I choose to be this way. If I want to be different, I have the ability to be different. What's the proof to that? Malchus. The same way that I could exercise my Bechira, I could exercise my free choice to accept God as my king, I also have the Bechira, and I also have the free choice to make of myself what I want. The first step in Rosh Hashanah, the first step in tshuva, is a recognition that I have choice in this world. I am the only being. Animals do not have bechira. Animals do not have free choice. Plant life doesn't have free choice. The only organism in this world, in this universe, that has bechira is us, as human beings. I exercise my choice to go ahead and accept God as my king. And what that shows me is I have the choice to make of myself what I want to be. That's Malchus. What's Zichronos? Take a look at number 6. So in the Musaf Shemona Esrei we say, Ki zecher kol ha-ma'asim lefanecha ba, va'ata doresh ma'aseh kulam. So again, this is just the line from Musaf. So Musaf, we say, God, the remembrances of all of your creation, the memories of all of your creations come before you. Va'ata doresh ma'ase kulam. And you literally doresh, you investigate them all. So again, on a basic level, what are we saying in the Machzer? HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers everything. There is no such thing as something that God forgets. No such thing as something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just slipped his mind. You remember everything. So what's the message? Take a look at number 7. So this is actually an idea brought down in the Sefer Mesilos Baruch Hasidus, brought down by the Sfas Emes. And the Rebbe says something, the Ger Rebbe says something so beautiful here. Take a look at 7 Aleph. Hine ha'adam alu lachshov b'daito. A person can very often think to themselves, So the Sfas Emes writes something so beautiful. He says, sometimes we think to ourselves, you know what? Like we said, the season for honesty. I'm honest with myself. I know my davening is not so great. It's rushed. Very often lacks kavana. More often than not, lip service. I know that maybe even when I do chesed, the truth is, I don't know that my chesed is altruistic. I do chesed because I like to look like a Baal chesed. I want other people to like me. I want to be a good guy. I want to feel good about myself. My chesed is not pure. My tzedakah, maybe I give that because I want some type of recognition. And if I go through all of my spiritual service, I say to myself, you know, it's not so great. I may have done a lot of stuff. I may have done a lot of mitzvos. But the truth is, I can't say that I've done things in the way they should be done. And so I'm sure in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my actions are quite empty and meaningless. And when a person begins to think this way, they chas v'shalom experience yeyush. Yeyush means despair, despondency. A person just throws their hands up and says, you know what? I'm worthless. I can't get anything done. I'm just spinning my wheels. So what's the point of trying? The Rebbe then goes on and he gives a beautiful mashal. And he gives the mashal, gives a parable of a pauper who comes to the king. And when the pauper comes to the king, so the pauper may go ahead and present a very simple, modest and relatively small gift. But the king recognizes that that's the best his subject can do at that particular time. And so the king doesn't pay attention to the monetary value of the gift. The king doesn't pay attention to the relative value of the poor man's gift to the rich man's gifts. He's just so happy that the poor man has given something of himself. If you skip down to paragraph Gimel, writes the Rebbe, V'zeu, ki zecher kol ha-ma'asim lifanecha ba, va'ata doresh ma'asekulam. You know, this is so incredible. And I just have to say something here. There's another piece, which is, you know, for many of us, we also have to unlearn a lot of the things we've learned about Yamim Noraim. We have to unlearn them. The truth is, many of us have to unlearn a lot of the things we have tibat Yiddishkeit. I'll tell you what, I had someone who once called me up and told me that he can't stand the Pesach Seder. Hates the Pesach Seder. Truth is, I've heard people saying they can't stand cleaning for Pesach, can't stand cooking for Pesach. I've actually never in my life heard somebody who says they can't stand the Seder. Okay, I'm not a psychologist, but I like to play one every once in a while. I said, tell me, like, how long have you felt that way about it? This is my whole life. I said to him, tell me, what was Pesach like in your house growing up? He said, it was horrible. He said, my father made me sit by the table until 2 o'clock in the morning. And I had to keep my finger on the place, and I had to sing every song, and I had to have Divrei Torah. So I hated it. Hated it. I said, you don't hate the Pesach Seder. It's unfortunate you just maybe got a little bit of a skewed chinuch from your father. Meaning, everything in Yiddishkeit is beautiful and enjoyable. And if it doesn't feel good, or it hurts, or it feels abrasive, it's not the problem with the Yiddishkeit. Sometimes it's a problem with how it's packaged. So often, Yamim Noraim, is packaged in a way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the judge, jury, and executioner, sitting there weighing every single thing, and I'm sittering because I don't know what's going to happen. Is there going to be one more avira, one more mitzvah? Oh my gosh, that lashon hara from yesterday definitely tipped it here, but I gave an extra dollar to the guy who helped me with the cart in 7 Mile. That's an extra thing here. So again, and we have this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is just looking to come down hard, and there's nothing further from the truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us than we could ever understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us more than we could ever love our own children. And the whole point of the Yamim Noraim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I just want you to lead meaningful lives. I just want you to lead purposeful lives. And He knows how we work. How do we work? People don't introspect until when? Until you have to. Just like why in most companies there's something called a performance review. Why do employees get a performance review? Why don't you just trust everybody? And the answer is, because people are people, and people get comfortable, and people take shortcuts. But when I know that I have a performance review at my job, and someone's going to be looking at all the different categories, I gotta be on my game. What's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? It's not an opportunity to patch. It's not an opportunity to come down hard on us. It's not an opportunity, Chas Hashem, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, you were horrible, you were terrible. It's just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a performance review so that we can introspect, because often we're not operating on all cylinders. I'm not maximizing my potential. And the truth is, as great as we are, most of us won't find a way to maximize our potential on our own. It's only because we know that there's judgment. It's only because we know that there's a performance review. It's only because I know that I have to come over HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not with all of you, not with my family, not with my friends, but by myself. And I have to have that sit down, that face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So writes the Sfasem so beautifully. What does it mean when we say in number 6, Ki zicher kol ha-ma'asim lefanecha ba? Ribono shel olam, you remember everything. You see, most of us think, what is that referring to? Yeah. Our avirus. No. It's referring to our mitzvos. It's referring even to the little things that we think are worthless. Remember that shachris I davened yesterday? You know, like that day. The only way I knew that I davened shachris is because I saw the tefillin marks on my arm. Otherwise, I did not remember anything about the event. So I say to myself, that was absolutely worthless. And what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do? He puts his arm around and he says, no, it wasn't. Okay, you could do better. We'll both agree on that. It's certainly not the paradigm of tefillah. Art school's not writing a book of tefillah based on your chakras yesterday, that's for sure. But you did it. And I appreciate that you did it. Because you didn't have to do it. You could have been doing something else. Ki zecher kol ha-ma'asim lefanecha ba. We often think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just remembers every single little avera. All the averas I forgot about, oh, God remembers. No! I mean, yes. But ki zecher kol ha-neshkachos, zecher kol ha-ma'asim lefanecha ba, va'at dorish ma'asekula means, in the realm of mitzvos, even the things that we write off, because I say to myself, that was not a quality mitzvah. There was no depth, there was no profundity, there was no emotion, there was no feeling, so I write it off as a waste. HaKadosh Baruch Hu scoops it up and he holds it so close to him and he says, this is beautiful. I know you could do better. You know you could do better. But this is beautiful. It's like lahavdil. If your child brings you home a piece of art, and they drew outside of the lines. So I know, I can say to my child, you know what? You know how to draw in the lines. You're capable of drawing in the lines. I know you could do it, right? So could the picture have been prettier? Yes. But it's beautiful. Thank you for giving me something. Sometimes in life, we draw out of the lines. Sometimes in life, what we're doing doesn't seem all that important to us. But even those mitzvos and even those chasadim that we write off as worthless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they mean so much to me. Ki zecher kol ha-ma'asim lefanecha ba. I remember even the smallest of your mitzvos, even the most insignificant acts, ve'ata doresh ma'aseh kulam, and even when I forget about them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't. Even when I, the person, forgets about those small acts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't. I want to say something so beautiful. Take a look at paragraph, hey. He quotes over here from the Or HaMeir. The Or HaMeir writes in the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that we say actually in the section of Zichronos, Habein Yakir Li Ephraim. Such a beautiful Pasuk. So if we take a look, actually it's a paragraph, Dalet, excuse me. We say, Habein Yakir Li Ephraim. Im Yelet Shashuim, my precious child Ephraim. Ephraim here is a reference to all of Klal Yisrael. My precious child Ephraim. This is God speaking to the Jewish people. My precious child Ephraim. Im Yelet Shashuim, a delightful child. Kimidei Dabribo, Zohar Eskerenu Od. Every single time he speaks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I remember him. Now, literally means, Kimidei Dabribo is God saying, whenever I speak about him, I remember him. The Ar HaMeir understands a little bit differently. He says, HaBein Yachili Ephraim, Klal Yisrael, I love you so much. Kimidei Dabribo, every single time you daven to me, and you reach out to me, even if it's not with Kavanah, and even if it's not, doesn't shake the heavens, and even if it's not so profound, or so beautiful, or so meaningful, Zachor Eskerenu Ot. I never forget, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, anything you do. The biggest thing to the smallest thing. Even the smallest of actions is meaningful in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is so dramatically important. Because sometimes we think that the key to spiritual success is spiritual heroism. But it's not true. There are times of spiritual heroism. And there are individuals who lead spiritually heroic lives. But the truth is, most of life are just spiritual little things. Most of life is not spiritual heroism. And even those things that we write off as worthless because they were insincere, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki zechar kol ha-ma'asim lefanecha ba. I scoop it all up. All I want from you is connection. Now, there's an amazing Gemara. If you take a look, at number 8. So this is the famous Gemara, probably one of the most often quoted stories in this tshuva season. It's the stories of Rabbi Lazar ben Dordaya. So the Gemara talks about Rabbi Lazar ben Dordaya. So the Gemara says, look at number 8. V'atayin Rabbi Lazar ben Dordaya, shelo hiniach zona achas ba'olam shelo ba'ala. So Elazar ben Dordaya obviously was a very lustful individual. So the Gemara says that there was not one zona, there wasn't one prostitute that he didn't visit in the entire world. Obviously a bit of hyperbole, but making a point. He was an exceptionally immoral individual. Pam achos, shama sheyesh zona achas bekrachi hayam, v'haisun atelis kis dinar b'schara. One time, he heard about a particular harlot who was over, yet to cross a couple of seas to get to her, and she charged an exorbitant amount of money. But, you know, look, everybody has to have a calling in life. You know, this was his calling. See, he decides, Natal kis dinarin, v'halach v'avra la shiva naros. He takes the bag of money, crosses 7 seas, obviously a bit of hyperbole over here, and ultimately comes to her. So the Gemara tells something amazing. Bishas hergel, so he's about to engage in an act of immorality with her. Hificha. She whispered, Amra, Kishim Sheficha Zu Eno Chozeres Limkoma, Kach Elazar Ben Dordaya in Mekablin Osa B'tshuva. And she whispered into his ear, the same way that this whisper cannot be taken back, so Elazar Ben Dordaya can no longer do tshuva. Now the reality is, this woman never said those words, right? She's not a Rebbetzin, she's a Zona, right? So she's not exactly giving him Musar, especially, again, this is her profession. If she tries to convince him out of this, she's going to lose this money. She's not saying it, but you know what's happening over here? As Elazar ben Dordaya, his neshama understands that he's about to pass the point of no return. So he hears it himself, but he imagines ultimately, again, that it's coming from her. And the Gemara tells a dramatic story. Elazar ben Dordaya doesn't understand, he knows he has to do tshuva, he knows he has to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he doesn't know how. So he begins to reach out to the sun, to the moon, to the stars, to the mountains, to the sea. Help me, help me, help me. Everyone essentially says to him, listen, we've got our own problems, we can't help you. Which finally leads Elazar ben Dordaya to say the following. If you take a look at the last couple of lines, actually it's on the next page, 4 lines up from the bottom. Amar, he finally said to himself, Ein hadavar taloi elabi. I see that the entire matter is up to me. No one else can help me do tshuva. No one else can help me change. No one else can help me come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is up to me and me alone. Hiniach Rosho ben Birkov, he put his head by his knees, v'ga'a b'bichia, and he began to cry, Ashiyatas anishmaso, until his soul left his body. So he cried and cried and cried until he literally died in a state of tshuva. Yotzes abaskol v'amra, a voice from heaven comes out and says, Rabbi Lazar ben Dordaya mezuman l'chaye olam haba. And abaskol, a voice from heaven came out and says, Elazar ben Dordaya is summoned to eternity in the world to come. So the Gemara ends off with an incredible postscript. Bacha Rebbe, Rebbe, the great sage Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, when he used to tell this story, he would cry. Va'amar, and he would say, Yesh kana olama b'sha'achas, b'kamashanim, excuse me, there are some people who it takes them many years to acquire their portion in the world to come. V'yesh kana olama b'sha'achas. And there are some people who acquire their portion in the world to come, b'sha'achas. How would you say b'sha'achas? 1 hour or 1 moment. 1 moment. So, it's always interesting. So, whenever we see this, we understand this idea that Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya led an immoral life, but yet in this 1 moment, he was able to go ahead.
Was he married?
I don't know. I hope not. I think it just makes the story worse. So I'm hoping he wasn't married. So Rebbe said that a person could go ahead and acquire their Olam Haba b'sha'achas in one moment. But you know, there's a different meaning to the word sha'ah. If you take a look at number 9, just very quickly. If you take a look at number 9, so going all the way back to Bereishis with the story of Cain and Hevel. So remember again, Hevel offers up the beautiful karban from the best of the sheep, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts it. Cain offers up from the inferior parts of his flock, and what does the pasuk say? Ve'el Cain ve'el minchaso lo sha'a. To Cain and to his mincha lo sha'a. Now lo sha'a, what does it mean lo sha'a? Rashi says, vayifen. It means to turn. It means to turn. So we see Sha'a doesn't just mean God did not turn to Cain. He turned to Hevel. He did not turn to Cain. Yesh kana olama b'sha'a achas doesn't just mean that you could acquire eternity in 1 moment. It also means that you could acquire eternity sometimes with just a very small move. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not asking for great things from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not asking for heroic things from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not asking us to do the things that Torah stories are made of. He's not asking us to be Sarah Imeno. He's not asking us to be Bitya Basparo. He's not asking me to be Yitzchak, not to be Yaakov, not to be Moshe. What is he asking me for? He's just asking me for something. Just give me something. Because the king is so happy whenever his subjects bring him something. It doesn't have to be something expensive. And it doesn't have to be something magnificent. And it doesn't have to be something unique. And it doesn't have to be something that is uniquely special. It just needs to be something. You see, those things that we often think are meaningless are sometimes the very things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says long after you've forgotten them. They mean something to me. You know, we spend this time of year trying to figure out what to do. What to do. Right? What am I going to do this year? And, you know, it's an amazing thing. You know that there are many people who start planning what they're going to do in the coming year in Elul. They start planning. Elul is a good time to start planning in Elul. And, you know, they're still planning when? The next Elul. It's a fantastic plan. Like, it's really good. I even have like a PowerPoint. I can show exactly what I'm going to accomplish, how I'm going to do it. This is the first 6 months, the second 6 months, the third 6 months, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays. Here's my whole master life plan. And people spend, this is in general, people spend a lifetime planning. Only one small problem, which is they never execute. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't need grandiose plans. I don't need you to have an extreme spiritual makeover. I do not need you to become someone dramatically different. Yesh kana olama b'sha'achos. Just do something. Just do something. You decide what that something is. I, in the eyes of the world, but I have a friend who's doing this, and this one's doing this, and there's a campaign to do this. Fantastic. Those are all beautiful things. Give me a sha'ah. Turn to me just a little bit more. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, I love the little things that you do. Even if they're not so kavanah-filled, even if they're not so special, even if they're not so unique, even though you could have done it better, I still love it. Zichronos teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds dear even the smallest of things that we do. Even the things that are spiritually compromised, that are not so beautiful, that are not so great, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still holds them near. And Zichronos reminds us, you don't have to come up with a grandiose, well-thought-out spiritual plan. Just do something. Yesh kana olama b'sha'achas. Sometimes all you need to do is pivot, is turn, just a little bit. Do something small. Do something beautiful. Doesn't have to be perfect, but it's so treasured in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Zichronos. Lastly, we come to Shofros. And Shofros, I think, out of all of these, is going to probably be one of the most difficult ones. Take a look at number 11. So there's an amazing statement by the Shlach. So the Shlach HaKadosh quotes, I put a little bit of biography over here for the Shlach. So quotes the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Right? So this is, again, the Gemara says, why do we blow the shofar? Take a quick look at it, beginning of number 11. Rabbi Avo, Lama Token B'Shofar Sha'ayil, why is it that we blow the shofar of a ram on Rosh Hashanah? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tiku Lefanai B'Shofar Sha'ayil, Kedei She'eskor Lachem Akidaso Shal Yitzchak. So go ahead and blow the shofar of the ram, so that I will remember for you the Akedah of Yitzchak, Umala Ani Aleichem Kilakartem Es Atzmechem, and I will go ahead and count it for you as if you put yourself on the Akedah. Remember again, we have two questions here. What were our two questions? Number one, what does this mean? What's this power of the shofar? Number two, how could it be that if I blow the shofar, it's as if what? I put myself on the altar? Do you understand? Meaning, we read about the Akedah. You know, one of the reasons we read about the Akedah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the binding of Yitzchak, is because life is filled with challenges. And the paradigmatic challenge of the human condition is the Akedah. I'm willing to give myself, to give my child. I don't know that I could ever do. But we're not Avram Avinu. We're not tested like Avram Avinu. But we read about the Akedah to speak about the challenges of life. So by blowing the shofar, it's as if I put myself on the altar. What does that mean? So I want to show you something absolutely amazing. So take a look. So the Shlach continues. He says, I'm still in number 11, three lines down. Bevadai. Akedah zumara lanu akedah yetzer hara. So the Shlach writes something very interesting. He says, the Akedah is to be a metaphor for the offering up, the binding, the sacrificing of our Yetzer Hara, of our evil or negative inclinations. Yadayim v'raglayim, einav v'libo l'shamayim, ola tzimima, kilu nisbatlu kol hargeshosav. The idea over here is that I put myself on the altar, refining myself, refining every part of who I am, every part of my physicality, to serve some higher purpose. V'lo yeshum machshavas psul b'libo, hein beino ubein kono, o beino ubein chadero, lo huska levad, kala shomea Yitzchak li. Just like the part, we're going to see this in just a moment, just like ultimately again, by Avraham Avinu, it says, whoever hears about this will laugh for me. Yechavin atzmo kilu akut. A person has to view himself as if he or she is bound on the altar. Yodav viraglov asuros. I have to view myself, writes the Shlach, as if my hands and feet are bound and I'm sitting on the altar. Now the truth is, for most of us, that's actually an image we would rather avoid. That doesn't sound exceptionally pleasant, and doesn't sound like, remember again, for Yitzchak it has a good ending, but for the Ayel, right, for the ram, it doesn't. Even for Yitzchak, remember again, he's not slaughtered, but he loses his mother as a result of this incredible and overwhelming event. But yet the Shlach says, when we hear the shofar, we have to view ourselves as if we are bound on the altar. So what does this mean? So I want to show you something amazing. Take a look at number 12. You know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first sends the angels to announce to Avram Avinu about the birth of Yitzchak. So the Pasuk says, look at number 12. So the angels ask for Sarah. Avram tells him Sarah is in the tent. So the angels say, okay, we're going to come back to you in a year. And in a year from now, Sarah will have given birth to a son. So what happens? So what's Sarah Imenu's reaction? Number 12, verse 12, Pasuk Yud Beis, the underlined line, Vatitzchak Sarah Bekir Balemar. So Sarah laughed to herself saying, come on, Acharei Belo Si Haisali Edna, now that I am withered, am I to have enjoyment? Va'adoni Zaken, and my husband is so old. So the Medrash writes in number 13, what does this mean? So, Al Divrei Makom Davar Achar Bekir Ba, Bikrovea, Gambi Skina, Gambi Yomim. So Sarah Imenu says, again, on a very simple level, I'm old. I am incapable of having children. Vatitzchak Sarah Bekirba, the Medrash understands it to mean that Sarah almost, she laughed at her insides. Excuse me. She laughed because she understood biologically, physiologically, she was incapable of having children. So she laughed Because it was ridiculous. When Sarai Imenu laughed, it was a fundamental laugh of disbelief. But I want to show you something interesting. Avram and Sarah have the same exact external reaction to the Akedah, but yet the reactions are understood in two dramatically different ways. Sarai Imenu's laugh is a laugh of disbelief. If you look at number 14, what does the pasuk say? Vayomer Elokim al Avram, Sarai ishtecha lo sikra shma Sarai ki Sara shma. So what happens? Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes Sarai's name to Sarah. What happens? You're gonna have, and then Berachtiosa, Vegam Nasati Mena Lechabein. I will bless her. You're gonna have a son with her. Oberachtia, Vahaiso Legoyim Malchi Amen Mena Yihiu. Okay, so Avram Avinu just hears that he's going to have a child with his 90-year-old wife. What's Avram Avinu's reaction? Vayipol Avram Alpona Vayitzchok. Avram Avinu goes that falls on his face and he laughs. Vayomer Belibo. Can it be? Could it be that I'm 100 years old, my wife is 90 years old, and ultimately again we're going to have a child? So you see what happens over here? Both Sarah and Avraham laugh regarding the birth of Yitzchak. For Avraham Avinu, it is the laugh that comes when you believe that anything is possible. From Sarai Imenu, it's a laugh of fundamental disbelief. If you remember again, what was the lashon? What was the wording of the Gemara? So, you don't have to look back, but I'll read it to you. Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, "Tiku lefanai b'shofar shel ayil." On Rosh Hashanah, I want you to blow the shofar of the ram. Why? Kedei she'ezkor lachem akedos Yitzchak ben Avraham. Isn't that intriguing? Right, we know who Yitzchak is. It's not like there's Yitzchak ben Avram and Yitzchak Schwartz. Right, there's only one Yitzchak in the context of the Gemara. So why does the Gemara say, blow the shofar, and I will remember the Akedah of Yitzchak ben Avram. Not only that, Umala ani aleichem, kilu akartem atzmechem lefanai. And here is what Chazal is teaching us, something amazing. When you blow the shofar, we'll discuss about the shofar in just a moment. God says, I will count it. Kilu akaratem atzmechem lefanai. As if you placed yourself on the mizbeach. What self am I supposed to place on the mizbeach? You know what I'm supposed to offer up on the mizbeach? You know what happens when you put something on an altar? What happens? It burns. It's destroyed. What part of me am I supposed to put on the altar? I'm supposed to put on the altar the laugh of disbelief. The tzchok of Sarai Imenu. The laugh that says, it can't be. The laugh that says, impossible. The laugh that says, I'm too old. I'm a certain way. I'm ingrained in my ways. This is who I am. This is who I've been. This is what I will be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to take that Yitzchak. Ma'ala an yaleichem. Akidas Yitzchak. If you go ahead and you blow the shofar, I will treat it as if you did Akidas Yitzchak. What does Akidas Yitzchak mean? The Akedah, the offering, the binding, the sacrificing of Yitzchak, the tzchok, the laughter of disbelief. Get rid of the laughter of disbelief in life. Sarai Imenu laughed, Chas v'Shalom, not out of malice. Right? I mean, it was a tzaddikus. We can't even understand her laugh. But in that moment, she just did not feel that what was being told to her was possible at all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want you to laugh like that. I want you to laugh like the Yitzchak ben Avram. I want you to laugh like an Avram Avinu. A laugh that says, you know what? I am kind of old, set in my ways, but things can be different going forward. I might be 100 years old. I might be 90 years old. I might be 50 years old. And so there's a lot of water under the bridge, but things can be different going forward. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us. If you go ahead and... Now, why the shofar? Let's tie this together. Why the shofar? So shofar is an amazing thing. You know, shofar, Levi Yitzchak brings down an incredible idea. He says, shofar is kol. It's sound. What's the difference between kol and dibor? Between sound and speech? What's the difference? Speech, when you articulate a word, the word is what it is, right? Meaning, okay, some words can have multiple meanings, but at the end of the day, the word is what it is. What's the amazing part about sound? What's the amazing part? Sound could be manipulated in a variety of different ways. Look at the shofar. The guy blows zera into the ram's horn, and depending on how he positions his lips and his tongue, sometimes it's a straight sound, sometimes it's a broken sound, sometimes it's short sobs, sometimes it's long sobs. Kol sound could be made into anything you want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you are experiencing the power of kol. Dibor, speech, the spoken word is what it is. It is what it is. Kol could be anything you choose it to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and you internalize that kol, and you promise yourself that, you tell yourself that you could be whatever you choose to be, then I will count it as if you did Akedas Yitzchak. I will count it as if you have gone ahead and gotten rid of and sacrificed and burnt and incinerated the laughter of disbelief of personal growth. If you allow yourself to internalize the call of the shofar, the sound that could be anything reminds me that I can be anything. Get rid of the laughter of disbelief. Get rid of the laughter of cynicism. Get rid of the laughter of self-doubt, which always talks to us in our ear and seems to be loudest this time of year, when it says, come on, we both know who you are and we both know who you're not. This is the same thing, same time, just different year. You had the same speech, you had shed the same tears, you made the same promises. Cut it out. You've been doing this already for decades. There's only one thing you're good at, which is underperforming. That's what you're best at. You've nailed that. You've got that down. You're doing great with it. You always deliver on under-delivering. So you know what? Underperforming. So you know what? Stop it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. I want you to take that tzchok of disbelief, that laughter that says, I can't change. This is crazy. I want you to put it on the Mizbeach. And I want you to get rid of it. And I want you to burn it. And the way I want you to see that it's possible to laugh, not the laugh of Sar Imenu, but the laugh of Avram Avinu, is to listen to the shofar. Because kol sound could be whatever you want it to be. And in life, we can be whatever we want to be. And now we begin to understand, if we pull this all together with this, I'll stop. We now begin to see the true profundity of Rosh Hashanah. Is Rosh Hashanah a day of judgment? Yeah. Yeah, not a day of judgment because Chesh Baruch wants to patch us. Not a day of judgment because Chesh Baruch wants to punish. A day of judgment because God understands us better than we understand ourselves. And He understands that we only introspect when we have to. We only introspect when there's a performance review. That's why Chesh Baruch gives us a day of judgment. But what's the avodah? How do we activate the power of this day? Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. Malchus reminds us that we have the ability to accept God as our King, which means I have free choice. I have choices in life. You know what the Rambam writes in the third chapter of Hilchos Tshuva? The Rambam writes, fifth chapter. You know what he says? It sounds so simple. Rishus kol adam nesunalo. Every person has choice, rishus, options. If you want to be a tzaddik, you can be a tzaddik. And if you want to be a Rasha, you can do that too. Malchus tells us we have choices. The only time we lose our choice. Now, we might not have all the choices we want. Maybe we had more choices in past years and less choices this year. That's possible. Sometimes the amount of choices at our disposal goes down, right? It's limited with time, but there are always choices to be made. Malchus reminds us that we have choices. Zichronos reminds us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and remembers even the smallest of things, even the smallest of mitzvot that we think wasn't good enough, wasn't sincere enough, wasn't meaningful, that we forgot about, that we threw out because we thought it was just, it lacked any type of spiritual lustre. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love it. I care about it. And what we learn from that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need spiritual heroism. Yeshkana olama b'sha'achos. Just do something. Just do something. It doesn't need to be great. It doesn't need to be well thought out. It doesn't need a whole multiple bullet point life plan. Just do something. That's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. And lastly, shofaros, the shofar, just like the call of the shofar, the sound, could be whatever it wants. So too on Rosh Hashanah, we must re-ingrain within ourselves the belief that we too could be whatever and whoever we want. The call could become something, we can become something. Our job when we hear the call of the shofar is to do an akedas yitzchok, to take the tzchok, the laughter of disbelief, the laughter that says, ah, you're never going to be anything more than you are right now. Put it up on the mizbeach, shecht it, burn it up, get rid of it. Do away with the tzchok of Sarah Imenu and replace it with the tzchok, with the laughter of Avram Avinu. Shofros reminds us that we truly have the ability to make ourselves into whatever we want to be in this world. This is the avod of Rosh Hashanah. And let us hope that Emir Tzashem, by taking the time in these days before Rosh Hashanah, to get a greater appreciation of not just the tefillah, but the real avod, the real mission of Rosh Hashanah, that halavai we should be zoche Emir Tzashem, not to fear coming before God. There's nothing to fear in coming face to face with God. There's an excitement because we're coming face to face with a king, with a father, with a mother who loves us more than we could ever imagine, who wants us to be more successful than we ever want for ourselves. A father, a king, a mother who when he sees us on Rosh Hashanah, you know, we often think that when we come into contact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, what's the first thing he's going to do? Right? One of those, you know, one of the, right, it's been a year. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu greets us with an embrace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu greets us with a kiss on our forehead. HaKadosh Baruch Hu greets us with a warm and loving welcome home. I'm so happy you came. I love you so much. Yes, I'm going to be a little bit of a Jewish mother. I wish you would have called more often. Right? I wish you would have visited more often. I would have loved to have seen you, but I'm so happy that you're here now. There's nothing to be afraid of in the encounter. And there's everything to be excited for. And in the schus of understanding what our avod in Rosh Hashanah is, let us hope that Emir Tzashem, when we come to that encounter in Rosh Hashanah, Kodesh Baruch Hu will be happy to see us. We will be overjoyed to see Him. And Emir Tzashem, we will know exactly what we need to do in Rosh Hashanah, and Emir Tzashem in the year to come. Wishing everyone a ksiva v'chasima tova.